My name is Kevin. I am the youth director here at First Baptist Church, and this is
Jody Maddie, and I'm the children's ministry director here at First Baptist Church.
And today we are excited to have a discussion with you about the promise of partnership. I am so blessed. I've said this to our staff. They hear this all the time, but I'm very blessed that I get to partner with Jody being one of the next gen directors, because I've never been able to partner with somebody as well when it comes to ministering to kids and teenagers. And we get a lot of enjoyment out of working together and ministering to the kids and the teens. So we're pretty excited to share that with you today. Hey, the clicker works. Great. Awesome. All right, so we want to talk to you about the promise of partnership. And the triune God, our triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, his method of operation is partnership. Okay? You can see that all throughout the Bible. It's in tons of places through Scripture. You can see that he partners with himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in eternity, partnered and enjoyed that fellowship together. So much that when they started creating, they partnered together in creation. And it's a beautiful thing to see, even when Jesus is on the earth getting baptized, that partnership is still working. Jesus gets baptized, goes under the water, comes up. God the Holy Spirit comes and rests upon him. And God the Father from heaven says, "This is my Son, in whom I'm well pleased." God, the Holy Trinity, partnering with himself to accomplish his will. Then God partners with Adam and Eve and the rest of humanity to rule and watch over his creation. And we know we're not always accused of doing the best job at ruling over this creation, but God partners with us anyway. And that was his plan from the very beginning when he put Adam and Eve in the garden, to partner with them, to rule all the fish of the sea, all the birds of the air, all the other life that he had created. God partners with the patriarchs of the nation of Israel to be that light that the Messiah would come from. God partnered with John the Baptist to go out in the wilderness and prepare the way for the Messiah. God partners with each believer to take the gospel and to share it and to make disciples, to be a witness of what Jesus has done for us. And God partners with church leaders with different spiritual gifts to build up and edify the church so it can do the work that it's supposed to do. And then we as the church, being different parts of the body, we get to partner with God and with each other to make sure that the work of the ministry is getting done. So if you're like me, you're thinking this: God doesn't have to partner with anyone. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. He knows everything. You can't tell God something new, right? And he is always present. So God doesn't need to partner with anyone. Why does God choose partnership as the way that he's going to get his will accomplished? I think there's a couple reasons. The first reason is that he wanted to set an example for us to follow as we go about our work. He knew it would be too hard for any one person to do it on their own. And so he gave us each other to partner with to make our work better. The other thing is that when God partnered with himself as the Holy Trinity, he enjoyed that partnership. He enjoyed that fellowship. And when he shares partnership with us to get his will done, he is also sharing that enjoyment with us. When we get to partner together and partner with God to see his will accomplished, we get enjoyment out of it. If you don't get enjoyment out of serving the Lord, maybe you're doing it wrong. For our next gen ministries, we have chosen to follow this example of partnership, and Jody and I partner together. We talk about all of our events together and with Ken and pray over things and kind of what we're going to do next and how we can best make it a situation where when the kids leave the children's ministry and come into the youth ministry, that it's a smooth transition, that there's not a whole lot of difference. It's just leveling up for their age and maturity. And we've been able to partner really well and enjoy that partnership and see some really cool things come from that. Just in case you were wondering, next gen, if you're not familiar with that term, that is children and youth, basically the next generation. And a lot of times, when we think of the next generation, we think of them being the church of tomorrow. We don't think of the next generation as the church of tomorrow. If they know Jesus, they are the church of... Man, you guys are so good. That's great. Yes, the church of today, as soon as they're born again, they're right in the body. They're a new piece of the body that we always knew we needed. All right? And they are ready to serve and to share their gifts. And so when we look at the next gen ministry, we don't think of them as, okay, graduate, and then you can go serve Jesus. We think of them as, hey man, you're saved. Start serving Jesus now. Do what you can do now. So this is our verse for the promise of partnership. This is Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30. And it says, I searched for a man among them who would repair the wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land so that I might not destroy it, but I found no one. And this is kind of a depressing verse and a sad verse from the book of Ezekiel, because God was looking for someone to partner with so that he could save his people, so that he could bless his people. But he didn't find anyone that was willing to partner with him. We chose this verse because we see it as a call to action for every single born-again believer to never let this happen again. We want, when God searches for us to partner with him, that he finds us ready, like Isaiah, to say, here I am, Lord, send me. I'm ready to get it done. Where do you want me to go? So this is the promise of partnership, and it's beautiful. Like I said, when you partner with God and with his people to serve and accomplish his will, beautiful things happen. And we want to kind of talk to you about the way that we want to just not partner with other leaders in our church and other ministries in our church. We want to talk about how the Next Gen Ministry, how our whole goal is to partner with you families and with you parents of kids and teenagers. So we do the orange model. We don't necessarily use the orange curriculum, but we do the orange model. And the orange model breaks down like this. The faith exposure and church leaders, they're represented by the color yellow, all right? The light of Jesus Christ, the light of the gospel. Families and kids and parents and teens, they are the home and the heart of why we do what we do, all right? We want to see them come to Christ, to know Christ. And so they're represented by the color red. And both the family and the church, we are all trying to see the same goal come to reality, and that is, we are trying to see kids and teenagers come to Christ and be the church. That's our goal. So the idea with Orange is, instead of the church doing one thing and the families and parents doing another thing, both trying to reach the same goal, we put them together. Red meets yellow and we become orange. And we partner together so that we can see better results and see the goal of kids and teenagers coming to Christ realized. One reason why this is important is because your kids and teens are getting exposed to a lot out there that doesn't necessarily build up their faith, or it doesn't include Jesus Christ. When you look at the tweens, this is those age ranges right up before they get to 13. They get 42 hours a week of media exposure. We're not saying the media is bad, but, I mean, let's all be honest, it's not good either, right? It depends on what you're ingesting, right? So they get, if you look at 42 hours a week, that's 2,184 hours a year of media exposure. That's just for the tweens, okay? For the teens, they get a little bit more. They get 63 hours a week, which breaks down to about 3,276 hours a year. That's a lot. By the way, this is outside of school. This is just media exposure. TV, movies, video games, internet, social media, billboards, different things like that. And they get hit with a lot. And they get hit with it over and over and over again. When you look at the faith exposure, it's a little bit different. If your kid or teenager comes to Sunday morning service every Sunday morning for a year, they will get 52 hours of faith exposure a year from us. Do you see why If that's all they get, they're not getting a lot. If they come to Sunday school, you add another 48 hours of faith exposure a year. So that's 100 hours. That's if they come to every Sunday morning service and every Sunday school throughout the year. Let's be honest, for most of us, that doesn't happen. If you add in Wednesday night, they get another 40 hours, okay? And that could be Awana or what we call in the youth Wednesday Night Live. It's kind of cheesy, but hey, it works. And that gets them another 40 hours. So that brings them up to 140 hours per year on average if they come to every Sunday morning service, every Sunday school class, and every Wednesday night class. Just so you know, the average teenager, the average kid, the average next gener only gets 40 hours of faith exposure per year. That's the average. Even our most faithful families don't come every Sunday, every Sunday school, and every Wednesday. Life happens, right? So this is why the whole idea of, hey, let's bring our kid or our teenager to church, and they'll get them saved. They'll fix them. It just doesn't work. We can teach and preach till we're blue in the face, but we're being outgunned by the media, okay? The cool thing is that parents, you get more time with your kids than the media does, all right? You get more time with your kids than school does. So if you add the time spent with parents, the 3,000, with the faith exposure, which is 140 hours a week, or a year, sorry, and you combine the church leaders and the home, again, the yellow and the red, it comes to about 3,140 hours a year. Neither of us can do it alone, but if we partner together, the church and the family, we can compete. We can fight for your next gener to know Christ, to be transformed. And Jody's got a really cool visual illustration to kind of show this. So we're gonna turn the time over to her for a second and do that. Can I get my happy helpers up here to help?
Okay. So I'm gonna switch sides. Can someone bring me the colorful ping pong balls? Here is 140 ping pong balls. This represents the hours that we give to your children. And thank you. And he said, we don't always get 140 hours, but we try and take advantage of the hours that we do get and use these. That's okay. Okay. And we have a gigantic tube over here.
I'm not going to try to jump up there, don't. I'm going to try really hard not to.
And we're going to add ping pong balls to represent the hours that the family gets with the children, which is 3,000 ping pong balls. Oh, lost hour. We need to make sure every hour counts. A big thank you to Michael Johansson, who built this for us. So you can see they can't really compete, but when you put them together, there is a lot of hours that we can make a difference.
Ta-da!
The biggest trick there is that I didn't die.
There were a couple moments up there I was like, Jesus, I might see you today. So glad that didn't happen. Okay, cool. So yeah, like Jody said, you can see like there's no comparison. If they're not hearing about Jesus from you, parents, if they're not seeing you model Christ for them, Jody and I can do a lot of cool things and teach them a lot of accurate theology and have a lot of fun with them, but it's not going to stick if they don't have you. Again, Ezekiel 22:30, I searched for a man among them who would repair the wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land so that I might not destroy it, but I found no one. God is searching for people who will partner with him. And now we're going to hear from Miss Jody.
Okay. I have been the children's ministry director here at First Baptist Church since 2011. And I've been a member since 1990. So most of you know me, but for those who don't, hi, I'm Jody. And I'm usually with kids. And our vision is that every child will come to know, love, and serve Jesus Christ. And so we have the same goal in mind. And when we work together, we can see amazing things happen. And through that, our mission is to partner with parents to build a strong biblical foundation in every child. And I have a Bible verse, Mark 10:13. Sorry. One day, some parents brought their children to Jesus so he could touch and bless them. But the disciples scolded the parents for bothering him. When Jesus saw what was happening, he was angry with his disciples. He said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not stop them, for the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children. I tell you the truth, anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it." Then he took the children in his arms and placed his hand on their head, and he blessed them. He was angry with his disciples. You know, there's only a few times it's recorded in the Bible that Jesus was angry, so this mattered to his heart. This is one of the things that mattered the most. And you see it all throughout Scripture that God blesses children. He loves children. And so do we, and that's why we do what we do. We care about your kids. On Sunday mornings, we use curriculum, and it's Grow Curriculum. It's for preschool and early elementary. The kids this takes kids through every major Bible story in 3 years. We spend equal amounts of time in Old Testament and New Testament, which you don't see a lot in kids' curriculum. A lot of times you see, you know, the big Bible stories of the Old Testament. And we have monthly videos and themes that get the kids engaged and make it fun for them, because gone are the days that we can just sit in there and do worksheets and kids be engaged and learn something. And how you can partner with us with the Sunday curriculum is every week kids should bring something like this home. And if they don't, it's printed. We sometimes just get busy at the end of the day and forget to hand them out. So ask for it if you don't get it. And it tells you what we go over during the week, the Bible story that we went through, and the big idea for the day. Then it gives you some questions you can ask your kids that they should be able to answer, or you guys could talk over it, and it helps explain things. It tells you the idea that the kids need to remember about this week, and it even tells you what we're doing next week. So this is a good tool to have amongst all their papers that they bring home. Make sure and look for this every week. The fifth and sixth grade, Dr. and Mrs. McAllister, they lead the these kids and a few older kids also. The kids love this class so much, some of them do not want to even graduate to youth, but I think we're putting a limit on it this year. If kids could, they'd probably stay in there until they got married or something, but they do a great job. And they go through the books of the Bible verse by verse, and this year, well, currently right now, they're working on Job. Fun Bible book. And then on Wednesday nights, we have Awana. This is a big thing with our kids. They love Awana. And each Awana night, we have book time, a lesson time, game time. And this year, we were very creative with game time. Thank you, Miss Kimberly. With social distancing and masks, we had to think outside of the box. And how you can partner with us for Awana is every week your kids will bring home a book. And in this book is a verse or Bible books. They learn the order of the Bible books, books of the Bible. And so just go over these with your kids. They have it every week. If they come home and say, oh, I've already done it, then work on the next one. There's always something for them to do. Other things we do. We enjoy doing life with you. We enjoy doing life with your kids. And one of the big reasons why is we just like kids. We like youth. And we like spending time with them and getting to know them, seeing them grow up in all their different phases. Another reason why we do it is because we feel it's important. We feel like what we do in children's ministry and youth ministry is just as important as what the adults do in here. Most people come to know Christ before the age of 13. And so what we do, we feel matters a lot. And we want to do life with you. We want to, or your kids to see us, not just in this church building, but wherever you may want to invite us. Give us their sports schedule, their recital schedule. I went to a wonderful recital last week, and they did a great job. And we just like to let them know that they matter to us on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays, and Mondays. I skipped Mondays. Not just on Sunday. They matter to us all the time. And so by us going to these things, that allows us to show them that we care. So get us their schedules, whatever you want to do. Even attend birthday parties and just have fun times at the park. Just anything out there that you can think of. Another big thing we do is kids' movie nights.
So I'm gonna stop and brag on Jody a little bit here because this was her baby. This was her idea. She was thinking about a way that the children's ministry could partner with the youth ministry and build a bridge for those fifth and sixth graders so that when they got to level up into youth, they didn't feel awkward or out of place. They already knew some of the youth and were friends with them and had some shared life. And so she was like, why don't we do this big kids' movie night? And we'll do it every other month. And we'll show something cool like superheroes or sci-fi, something that they'll be into. And we'll do fifth grade through 12th grade. And I thought that was a great idea. And so what we do is we do two movies at these big kids movie nights. And in the middle, we do a devotion. And I have to tell you, I heard one of the best devotions ever come from this woman when we were doing the big kid movie night. We were watching a superhero movie that hopefully most of you have seen because it's amazing. But in this movie, they talk about how there's like a million different ways that the rest of the story could go with the enemy, but only one way would lead them to victory. So Jody took that premise from the movie and used that for the youth and for the kids, and she said, you know, there's a million ways that you can live life or go about your life on this earth, but there's only one way that will get you to heaven, and that's with Jesus Christ. And so these kids, they hear the gospel at these big kids movie nights, and I know people are saying, you know what, well, they're having a lot of fun. Yeah, church should be fun, and when we come together, they should have fun, but then they should hear the truth, and that's exactly what happens, and it's awesome.
Yeah, in these movie nights, big kids every other month, and when we don't have big kids, we have little kids movie night, which big kids sometimes come to also. But everything we do, we want to point it back to Jesus, even the fun movie nights, even the fun summer next gen events that we're going to have. Every time they come, they get a devotional, and we tie everything back to God. And I'm turning it back over to Kevin.
All right. So for those of you who don't know me, Kevin King, the youth director. I've been volunteering in youth ministry since I looked like that. Some years in Krispy Kremes have come in between that and now. The heart that I had for youth and for the gospel back then is the same. Youth ministry is just my passion. I love ministering to teenagers and telling them about Jesus. Just to give you a little bit of my background, in 2008 was when I became a youth pastor, and I started serving at a church in Virginia. There's a typo up there, it says 2011, but I actually served in Virginia for 5 years, from 2008 to 2013. Then I was a youth pastor in North Carolina for another 4 years, and then in 2018, I got the wonderful opportunity to come here in Newcastle, Indiana, and I have to tell you, we have never been so blessed as we have at this church, and we are so glad to be here and getting to minister to these teenagers and this community. Our youth ministry, we named it here DTL, or Death to Life, student ministry. And some of you, man, you're talking about death. That's scary. There's a skull. Like, well, what is that all about? Well, here's what we want youth and parents to understand. It comes from this verse, Ephesians 2, 4 through 5, and it talks about God, who is rich in mercy, all right, who came and gave life to those who were dead in their transgressions, dead in their sins. And this is what we want our teenagers and the world to understand. God didn't come to earth and die on a cross to make good people better or bad people good. Jesus came to earth and died on a cross and rose from the dead to transform us from death to life. And if that's not what you have, you don't have it. And so that's what we want to point them to, is that God wants a complete transformation from death to life. And that's what we're all about. So our mission is to come alongside parents to lead teens from death to life in a relationship with Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. The second part of our mission is to build a safe community where teenagers can be the church, where they can serve, where they can worship, where they can lead, and where they can be examples of what it means to be a Christian. All right, and we get that from 1 Timothy 4:12, which I preached on a couple years ago here. So a couple things that we do weekly. We have Wednesday Night Live from 6 to 7:45, or sometimes 7:55 when the long-winded youth director keeps talking and talking. Some of you guys are like, I know, bro, stop. It's okay, I'll be quick, I promise. So that's what we do on Wednesday nights. They get a game, they get prayer, they get praise and worship. Nick Estill leads praise and worship for them and does a wonderful job. We do a youth lesson that's interactive where they get up out of their seats and do different object lessons, kind of like what we did today and different things like that. And so that's a lot of fun. We really enjoy our Wednesday nights. For Sunday school, 5th through 8th grade, 7th and 8th graders are allowed to go to Doc and Jean Ann McAllister's class in room 505. For the 9th through 12th graders, they're taught by Nick Estill, Misty Watkins, and Bree, my wife, and they do a great job. And then I offer a deeper Sunday school lesson for any youth who wants to just really do an inductive Bible study and really go really, really deep. All right, and this isn't something that's required. It's not something we do all the time, just when there's an interest for it. We try to do at least one fun fellowship event a month, and we always incorporate that around a devotion and sharing the gospel. We also try to do a service project once a month. We haven't been able to do as much because there has been a limitation of what we can do safely for service projects, but as soon as all this COVID stuff goes away, our plan is to get back doing one service project a month so the teenagers can be out there being the church in their community. We also do DTL Cafe. This is the second Friday of every month, usually, and this is a fun event where they get to have cafe beverages and snacks and basically just come and hang out at a fun internet video game pool hall that's safe and pure, and they get to have a good time and hang out with their friends.
And I have had the privilege of the last couple months being able to serve in the DTL cafe, filling in for Colby and Leah as they are out with the new baby. And it is amazing. If you have teens that you want to find a door for them to come into where they don't feel pressured, don't feel like they're being preached at, DTL Cafe is the place to send them. They have so much fun, and but then they're all, everything we do, we tie back to Jesus. And Kevin took one DTL Cafe where we were talking about a sci-fi movie, and we had a sci-fi night, and led a child to Christ that night. But his devotional was great. He was comparing the Force with having the Holy Spirit, and how much better that is in your life. And once you accept Christ and you receive the Holy Spirit, then you can do amazing things with Jesus and amazing things for God. And he did Sword of Truth and Light Unto Your Feet with the lightsaber and all kinds of fun things. The kids enjoyed it, but, you know, somebody came to know Christ that night, and it was just a wonderful experience.
So we do that, and then we talked about the big kid movies already. So just to show you, these are a couple of the service events that we've done. You can see one of our graduates, Trevor, is up there. We've built ramps. We've helped out with Victory Lane Camp, packing food. We've done Community Day of Caring. These teenagers, it's so cool when we do these service projects, because a lot of what you hear about teens today is, oh, they're so lazy, and they, you know, they don't do a whole lot and everything like that. But that's not my experience. When we get them out there for these service projects, they work hard, and they're dedicated, and they want to do it right. And it's so cool to see. So maybe you want to partner with us and come do one of these service projects sometimes. We would invite you to do that. These are some of the things, and I know, you know, we've talked a lot about different things that we're doing, but if you're interested in any of these are things that we do in detail student ministry, or that we're looking to add this year or next year. So if you see something up there that you're passionate about, we would invite you to come talk to me about that, because we want to get some of these things started if we haven't started them already. When it comes to outside of services and events, there's a lot more that not just me, but Jody and I do. We do counseling, we do visits, one-on-one discipleship. I meet with a couple young men, one who's graduated, one who's graduating, and with other youth, just one-on-one teaching them the scriptures and teaching them how to live for Christ. And it's really cool, because not only do they learn, I'm assuming they learn, but I learned from them, and it's been really, really cool. So that's some of the stuff that we offer outside of our regular services. And when Jody said that we want to be a part of your kids and your teens' life outside of the church, she's telling the truth. We want to be there for baseball games, football games, dance recitals. Whatever your teen is passionate about, we are passionate about too, and we want to support them. So please let us know what they're involved in, because we want to come embarrass them with big signs and bring them flowers and
painted
all that.
Faces.
Paint our faces, yeah. You know, scream their name really loud in awkward situations. It's great.
Yeah.
So beyond the church walls, Jody and I, we believe very strongly that our ministry doesn't end where the church property ends, that we are to be out in the community talking to and reaching out to kids and teenagers who don't know Jesus yet. Jody works with Dive in Parker Elementary. As soon as the COVID stuff gets lifted, we're going to be back in there doing that again. I don't do every week with Dive, but I go in on the week that is the fifth and sixth grader week, so that I can build relationships there and kind of build a bridge to the youth ministry. We both work with Wild Dive, which is something before COVID, we got to go into the middle school and put on events there, and the middle schoolers got to hear about Jesus, and it was awesome. And then on Monday, I work with Young Life, and that's something that I'm very passionate about, and that just is a huge blessing in my life, which is kind of what I want to bring it back to as we get ready to close. When you partner with God, one of the things that, one of the reasons why he wants us to partner with him is because he wants to share his enjoyment with us. He wants to share that awesome feeling of what it's like to work with him, to fellowship with him, to partner with him. And so, how do I say this the right way? If you are missing out on, if you feel like something's missing in your life, maybe it's because you're not partnering with Christ. Maybe if you're not enjoying the Christian walk, maybe you're not partnering with him to bless other people. It's just a thought. And I encourage you to make a change. We're going to invite the worship team up here now. We're going to read Ezekiel 22:30. I know this is the third time that you've heard this verse, but I'm helping with your memorization, okay? We want to bring this verse into your heart and into your mind, okay? I searched for a man among them who would repair the wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land so that I might not destroy it, but I found no one. Remember, this is a grim reminder that sometimes God searches for people to partner with and finds no one. Don't let that happen. Be someone that will partner with God and help bring light to this community. Is God searching for you? Is he looking for you to partner with him and work in a ministry? If he is, and you feel that tug, and you kind of maybe, some of you maybe are just feeling that tug for the first time, or maybe some of you have been like, you know, God's been trying to chase me down for a long time to get me to partner with him. Don't wait anymore. Answer him today. Come up to the altar, say, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll go wherever you want me to go. I'll say what you want me to say. Just answer him and say yes. Don't let your story be an Ezekiel 22 story. Let him search for you. Let him find you willing to go. Will you join me in prayer? Father God, we thank you. God, we don't know why you partner with us, but you do. God, we don't understand why you would even consider us, like Psalm 8 says. God, when we consider the works of your hands, and we consider the stars in the sky, why you would even be mindful of us is amazing. Why you would want to work with us, partner with us, share life with us is amazing. God, as you search for us, may we be found partners with you, partners to be a witness, partners to share the gospel, to make disciples, to use the gifts that you have given us to benefit your church and those who are not your church yet. Guide us in all that we face. And God, for the few out there who you're searching for to partner with them, let them answer you yes today. And God, if there's anyone in the sound of my voice who doesn't know you as Savior and Lord, I pray that today would be that day, God, that you would reach down and save them, that they would say yes to you so that they could be born again and they could be a part of this partnership. God, we thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.